Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. I want to focus, starting with verse 9, talking about the end times and the condition of things in the world that will be taking place during those days. And so it says, then you will be arrested. And anywhere you see then, it is following what was before. So you might want to just review these things. You could review them in Matthew as well. You can look at these in other places of the scriptures, but this is following many of the signs or early birth pains, we might say. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. And it seems there's a whole new level of demonic attack against the gospel, particularly from the perspective of the impact that Charlie Kirk's ministry was having on college campuses. And there are a lot of voices that are trying to demonize what was taking place. But I believe it's important for us to recognize that if the gospel is being preached, and if the purpose of the mission is to bring people to Jesus, then there was an occasion where the disciples said to Jesus, you know, there's some other people out here, they're doing ministry, and they, you know, they're using your name and such forth. Should we? I believe they wanted to do something kind, like call fire down on them or something like that, you know. They're not of our denomination. They're not of our house. They're not following us. They're not a part of us. So shouldn't we just call forth a supernatural, devastating moment upon them? And Jesus addressed that and said, if they're not against us, then they're for us. And I believe we just need to put a guard up and be careful what we feed our minds and our spirits in what's going around. My wife received a message from a lady. Somebody sent it to us, and we were looking at it, and I was into it about 3 minutes. I said, I don't even want to listen to it. Because she was directly attacking the whole movement and what happened at that memorial service, saying the whole thing was demonic. And speaking about the Holy Spirit, speaking about, you know, we have to recognize the work of demons in these days. And I've been hearing this stuff at the radio station for the last several days as well. And so the enemy changes his tactics. We need to make sure we're not deceived and we understand what the Word of God says and that we do not go to the garbage can to get our food. Go to the Word of God and go to the Spirit of the Lord for guidance and direction. So this is not an unusual thing. Why would evil take a man out who was doing evil? A lot of evil people get by with a lot of stuff for a long time. Charlie Kirk, as far as I can tell, was a godly man. And God raised him up like a Josh McDowell back in his day and opened the door for him to minister to young people all over our nation. And we need to pray for Erica. We need to pray for the ministry, the organization, that it finds its way and it's led of the Holy Spirit in the process of it. So when it says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed, say, yeah, okay, I kind of mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again this morning. I do believe in our nation we went to a lower level, a higher level of low, let me say it that way, with the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. I believe that is a spiritual assault on a higher level than we take note of even in our history. I did a bit of research online just looking to find American martyrs in the United States. There's reference to people, many people have had various events happen in their life, and pastors as well. There's been some shootings in churches. There's been a lot of different things happen. But I couldn't really find a list of martyrs in the United States. But I do believe that just as Stephen was a well-known, accepted ministry leader, and it was significant when he lost his life, and it was not just a natural event, it was a spiritual event as well. I believe that in our nation, we crossed over another threshold. And so, what does that mean in totality? I don't know, but I do believe in part it means that God isn't finished with us yet, because Stephen's death actually initiated increased persecution, but it also increased a tremendous impact of the gospel, and there was a tremendous awakening that spread across the nations. And so I do believe that though a great work was done in his short life, I believe that there are many others that are stepping up to continue in a more emboldened manner with their own faith. But this is what the word tells us is going to take place. You'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world. Now, we're not quite there yet, because of your allegiance to me. Verse 10, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will lead many people astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold. And then verse 13 and 14, they're really important. I want you to look at them. And Father, I pray that you would just give us understanding of what you want us to receive this morning. But those who endure, say endure. That means you don't go AWOL. Spirit of fear doesn't take charge. You stay in the race. You keep the faith. You don't walk around with your head down. Your head is high. You know who you are in Christ, and you are emboldened, because that's part of the prayer. You read that when you put on all the armor of God. Then it says, and having done everything, stand. And so don't expect God to do everything for you alone. There are some things we have to do, and we should do, and we do. And then it says, and pray for me that when I speak, my interpretation is that when I speak, I have something that God has to say coming out of my mouth. And when I'm put on the spot, that there is a boldness, not of the flesh, not of a personal charisma, but that there is a boldness from heaven that speaks through me as I speak. In other words, get all dressed up in your best armor, but it's not to show off for a parade. Get dressed up in your best armor because you're going to be called upon as a soldier, and you're praying, God, use me. That's part of the prayer that Bill, you and Harriet have shared with us. Use me. Show me where I can be needed. Open that door. Prepare my heart for the mission, and then use me. And these are days, I believe, that all of us are going to have greater opportunities to experience that. And I think what Joe and Alexa just did, that's one of those things. So it says, but those who endure to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it. And now we have another then. And then, the end has not happened yet. You're still here. So as long as the end has not happened yet, then we're here, and being here means that God wants to take more people out of here into his kingdom. God's not finished yet either, and certainly not with us. And then we have these words. And then, and the New Living Translation says, finally. Because when I was a kid, we had Cuban Missile Crises. Anyone old enough to remember Cuban Missile Crises? I was a kid. But I remember it was talked about all the time, and people were building bunkers and all kinds of things. And my father took that to be that there wasn't time to make preparation. When I told Dad, I was born again, I said, Dad, God's called me to the ministry, and a call to the ministry is more important than a call to be a brain surgeon. And so the call of ministry that God has in my life is a call to prepare. And so I must commit myself to an educational process that God is calling me to so that I can accurately share the Word of God. And that is really important. And Dad had something to say, because everybody was up in this high level of the sky is falling, and here we are in Florida, and we're kind of close to Cuba. It's not far away, and we're going to get the first hits. And, you know, everybody was concerned. And Dad was like, son, you were prayed for before you were born. While you were still in the womb, you were prayed for. What a blessing that is, right? Some of you grew up having that kind of a background as well. And he said, then you were in daily the Word of God and in prayer in our homes your entire life. And you were in worship. Not one time or two times. Back in those days, I believe every church almost had three services a week. But then in addition to that, Dad was out on the street. We had a big tent we set up. And during the week, many nights, we would be at the tent. We'd be feeding people, ministering to people. And then years later, once we moved to this coast, Dad had planned to go to Cuba and be a missionary. I believe it was with the Nazarene Church. He was going to oversee the island of Cuba. And then the revolt changed all of that. And so Dad went on with the story and said, "And you were raised in Christian school from first grade. You've been in Sunday school since you were a child. You've been raised in the Word of God. There's not time to go to college and prepare yourself because the time is so short." And Dad is now with the Lord. The Cuban Missile Crisis passed. It was not the end, but the end is going to come. And the Scripture tells us that. There's some things that must happen. I'm not going to get through all of this message this morning. I'm going to share some things that I have not shared before, some things that God has been raising up in my heart. But I want to start with this, that the end is coming. The end is coming. You say, well, what is that? Well, we're going to stick to the Word of God and endeavor to point some things out that are indications of what is just ahead of us. Maybe within the next few months, maybe within the next 3.5 years or so. But let me share some of these things. And I'm going to direct your attention, first of all, to the Scripture that we have looked at. It's in Romans chapter 11. And you all know that I love Israel and that we pray for Israel as a congregation, and we pray for Israel as a group of men. We pray for Israel as a family, and we do not accept replacement theology, which says the church took the place of Israel. That is a lie. We believe that we should pray for the peace of Israel, but we should pray for the only one who can bring peace to Israel. That's the Prince of Peace. And we should pray that the covenants of God would not be at war with the covenants of God as a nation. We pray that over our nation, that our nation and our leaders would have respect for the covenants of God, and that we would stand with Israel, because Israel is actually the billboard that indicates where we are in prophetic history. And so when we go to Romans chapter 11, and we look down in verse 25 and 26, Romans 11, 25 and 26, I'd like you just to follow along with that. "I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud and start bragging. There is such a thing as religious pride, and this has motivated many things in history that were quite destructive. But the Word admonishes us not to give in to a religious sense of pride as Gentiles. Some of the Jews have hard hearts." Say some, not all. In our family, we have Jewish believers. There's Jewish believers in almost every congregation in the United States. Wasn't always the case. We should look at this. You say, well, what does the Word of God say when you can look at the trees as they bud? You can see that it's a change of season. It means if you look around and you look at the body of Christ and you realize that the Gentile church is becoming more and more balanced with Messianic believers, and it's an awesome thing, and we are in Christ one. But Messianic believers that are in the body of Christ, they still have a covenant that stands that went to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that is a covenant. And I know there's a lot of differences of opinions about Israel today, and Raleigh Washington addressed some of that the other night, and Paul Wilbur addressed a lot of it on the radio station when I interviewed him back a few weeks ago. But there is a real common lie. It's a lie. I'm going to call it a lie. I'm convinced it's a lie. You can check it out. There's a strong lie that says Israel as a nation today is not biblical Israel. And so that's being presented, that actually the Israel there today, because they are not as a nation God-fearing like God would desire them all to be, or they may not have believed in their Messiah yet, that they no longer are the nation of Israel, then what nation are they? And Paul Wilbur said something. He said, the Jewish nation is the only nation who has its race in question. Think about that for a moment. Only Israel is being questioned whether or not you're really Israel. And it's like, duh, who are we if we're not Israel? We are Israel. And our race is being questioned. You're not real Jews. What do you mean we're not real Jews? We've been hated all over the world for being real Jews. We know our ancestry. It's in the Word of God, and we're related. This is who we are. And so I know there's some confusion, and some of this is being proposed by the church in some areas. In fact, if you were at the event the other night, you saw a little bit about the condition of the church. Because we could have had 700, I think, maybe max in that building. We had less than 300 in the building. And I know why. Because it's not popular to stand with Israel. But let me tell you something. It's not popular to stand with Jesus Christ ever, either. If you're really a follower of Christ, because as a follower of Christ, you will also stand with His people. Jesus was a Jew. He is a Jew. Your faith came from that background. We're not going to go to Hebrews this morning. But some of the Jews have hard hearts. Say some again. So they're not all getting it. So I would challenge anyone who would have the question, read the entirety of the Old Testament. Whether they were following God or they're rebelling against God, were they still Jews? Yes. Whether this government is righteous or not righteous doesn't change the fact of who they are and doesn't change the fact that God had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that still stands. Y'all still with me? So some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will last only for a season. Look at this. Only until the complete number of Gentiles come to Christ. Are Gentiles still coming to Christ? That's a hallelujah, isn't it? That means today's a day of salvation for Gentiles still. And so it's only going to last. In other words, when all the Gentiles that will be saved are saved, there's going to be a tremendous awakening with the Jewish nation. We're going to look at some scriptures that bear this out in a powerful way. And so look at verse 26. All Israel will be saved. Now let me tell you what that is not saying. And I'm going to give you scriptures. It is not saying that the Jews who have rebelled against God and rebelled against Yeshua now that He has come, that just every Jew, because they're a Jew, they're automatically going to be saved. Salvation is by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to have the Lamb who was sacrificed. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there is no other way. This is not saying that just because you're Jewish that you're automatically in the kingdom. Only through personal faith, now that Christ has come. Prior to that, it was by faith. You read in the Word of God, Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith. It was by faith and by following God, obedience to God. Up to that time, once Yeshua came, now it's by the blood of Christ. And so the Jews today come to Christ, come into the kingdom of God the same way I did. They believe in Yeshua. And that's the way I came. Confessed I was a sinner. Turned from my sin. Repented of my sin. Turned to God. Believed in Him. Messianic believers come the same way. And so when we look at this and we see that this scripture says the day is going to come when all Israel will be saved, there is a day of massive national awakening and salvation that is coming to the Jewish nation. It's coming. That's pretty important. Well, we know from Matthew where we started that the gospel has to go out to all nations, right? Before the end comes. And we also took note there that there would not only be localized hatred with persecution, arresting, and some dying, but there would be globally anger against those who would follow Christ, and of course to the Jews as well. All right, I think this morning we may have enough time to think about the Gentiles. What does it mean the fullness of the Gentiles has come in there in that passage in Romans? Till the fullness has come, the full numbers last only until the complete numbers of Gentiles come to Christ. I want to take you to Zechariah chapter 9. And I want you to look with me at some of these verses. I came across this, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and I've read through here so many times, I've underlined this before, but it did not hit me the same way it did this time. So it's talking about in verse 5, the city of Ashkelon, we'll see Tyre fall, we'll be filled with fear. I think sometimes we read through this and go, those cities don't even exist, I don't even know what it's talking about. Where were those cities? What difference does it make? And does that matter to me? I mean, why? Let's read the New Testament. That's a little easier to read, right? But hang on. We're talking about Gentiles. Now, you can do a search and look for a definition on a Gentile. If you ask the Jews, they'll say a Gentile is anyone who's non-Jewish. So that's kind of an easy definition, and it works pretty well. And it includes all of the nations other than Israel. So as far as I know, I'm a Gentile. I don't know. There are some tribes we are not maybe sure of where they all are, and maybe a few of us are part of that. Don't know that for sure, who all, where all they will come from. But the nations that are non-Jewish are Gentiles. So let me ask you a question. Are Arab nations Gentiles? See, we have different thoughts about that, don't we? You know why we have different thoughts about it? Is because we know they're related, right? But if you remember what happened, God clearly said, but my blessing is going to be, it's going to follow the seed of Abraham. It was not going to go to the Arab nations. And so Israel is distinct from the Arab nations. Now, there are Arab people that are Christians. You know that, right? There's a lot of Arabs that are Christians, which is powerful. In fact, the scripture says every nation, every tongue will be in heaven. So there's going to be globally a massive representation of the nations. And so when you think about this and say, well, okay, so we have Isaac, we have Ishmael, and we have the separation, and so we end up with all of these other nations. Well, to the Jews, if you're not of Abraham's seed, I mean, there's a relationship there, but most would say the Arabs are not Jews. Most would say they're Gentiles. Now, some might have a different opinion, but many would say it that way. However, when we look in this passage in Zechariah, so in Zechariah chapter 9, it's talking about Ashkelon, it's talking about Tyre, talking about Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. And then, do any of you see Gaza there? Interesting. Is Gaza in the news today? Yeah. So, Gaza will be conquered, its king will be killed, Ashkelon will be completely deserted, and I've traveled up and down the coast, many of these areas. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. Thus I will destroy the pride of who? Who? The Philistines. The Philistines. The pride of the Philistines. So this whole discussion of Palestine and the Philistines and Gaza, here it is in our message this morning. They will no longer eat meat with blood in it or feed on other forbidden foods. Now, if you have the King James, you have a different translation. It may word that a little differently. In fact, it may give a little of the context. There's a couple different perspectives on this. When it's talking about blood feeding on, it's literally kind of a gross representation of the most wicked form of attack and lifestyle that's possible on the earth. It's like they have had blood in their teeth. They, you know, for Israel, the blood always had to be drained. An animal had to bleed. They were not to consume the blood. So this is saying to the Jews who do not consume the blood, to the Philistines, or if you want to say Philistines, they were known as a people who were bloodthirsty. They were brutal. And it was as if they consumed their enemies, and they were committed to letting blood of those that they hated. It was as if there was blood in their teeth from the nations that they attacked. They were so brutal. Palestine, Gaza, Ashdod, Ekron. These are all communities up and down the Mediterranean Sea. If you've looked at the pictures, you see all that beach. And what a waste. I look at those beautiful buildings, condos, massive neighborhoods, wealthy, bombed out, disappearing. And you look at that and you go, man, how can that be right? How can this be right? And the only way you can look at that is to understand that we're dealing with good and evil. There are no other powers. It's either a good or it's evil. There's not a gray line in the middle. And so when you are a nation that has hopefully borders, which I pray America maintains borders, and we have laws and we're lawful, and there's a lot of anger and opposition to that today. That's kind of stupid to me. But Israel is a land with borders and with treaties and with agreements. And so if somebody breaks into your house and kills everybody in your house except you, are you going to hide? You going to run? Or if there's one child left, are you going to protect them? Israel's in a place where they didn't ask for war. War came to them. They didn't ask for murder. Murder came to them. They were actually taking care of the Palestinians And they were hiring them, many of them who came in to kill and destroy the Jewish families in next to Gaza, had been employed and were actually had been serving Jewish families for years. They had been an income source for them. And they took advantage of that, knowing the community. And so Satan is evil. Hopefully we can agree on that. And evil, the work of Satan, is given to us in the Word of God. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if that came to my house, you may not agree. You have every right to your own opinion. But if somebody comes to my house, we have guns in our house. I will protect my family. My son will protect my family. My wife will protect our family. And we will do that with whatever means we have. And we lock our doors because we don't want people to just meander in who may not, should not be there. But we believe that we should be protectors of our families. Any man I counsel that's going to marry a lady, I tell him that's part of your responsibility to be a provider, to be a protector. And that is part of what God has given us to do. So you may disagree, and this may be controversial. Somebody may get upset at me, but I'll just tell you that I believe that about my own family. And I believe we as a congregation have the right to protect our congregation when we come together. And we will do that. We will not be a soft target. And so I know the laws have changed in our state. We now have open carry. Some of you may be nervous about that. And it might make you feel a little strange to see somebody with a gun. But when I went to Israel the first time and I saw all of these people with guns, the Jewish people, I took a picture of a mother who had twins. She had a twin stroller. Between the two kids was this military rifle stuck right into the stroller. And I looked at that and said, that's weird. Kind of made me think, why would somebody carry a gun like that? That's kind of strange. Are you expecting something? And then I realized that all over Israel, all the good guys were armed. Eventually, I came to kind of like the idea that the good guys were armed. I kind of like the idea that America, that we can still protect ourselves. We're allowed to do that. So I want you to get a fresh perspective. I believe it's most important to be armed in the Spirit, to be a child of God, to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the desires of the flesh, be an anointed person who moves in God. But I believe beyond that, it's important that we also are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We already said what they are, to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we should be armed spiritually. And I believe it's appropriate for those who are so led of the Lord to be armed physically as well.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.